It's time for Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, the greatest automotive podcast in the known world with Ron Foreman, Brady Wright, and Steve Johann. Let's find out what's going on this week. Oh, man, it is Tuesday, November 3rd, 2020. It is Election Day, and I promise solemnly as we begin this show that we are not going to talk about the election or politics
at
all. I hope it all turns out the way you want it. I'm Brady Wright. Ron Foreman, the president and founder of the Rat Bastards, is here next to me. Steve Johann, our producer, as usual, joining millions and millions and millions of voting listeners this day. It's 160 episodes in. This is Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, and we are glad that you're here. We're on iTunes, iHeart Podcast, Spotify, of course, Podomatic.com, our home location. And really, no matter where you listen to your podcasts, whether it's Stitcher or TuneIn or Player FM or Podbay or CastBox, just, you know, thank you for listening and for liking and following our Facebook page. And for all of the latest shows, of course, they are in our archives on Podomatic.com. Right now, as I speak, Steve Johann is rummaging around in his back left pocket to find the cool stuff he has decided to bring to Back to the Blacktop this week. Lord knows what it is, but Steve knows.
Yes, I do. And I just wanted to say there was a couple very interesting points of this show. First, it is 160, which
160.
Is a very 160.
Yep.
Number two, it is the first time I've ever done a show on election night Eve.
Okay.
Yeah, this is the first time ever, and since 2007 producing podcasts, we've never done one on election night.
We weren't taking tonight off, by the way.
No, we weren't.
Yeah.
And the third thing is, this is the final night that all three of us will be sitting in the studio together.
Well, maybe.
Yes.
I might come back.
You might. But the point is this, is that we're going to all be doing the Zoom remote, and that's because Brady's moving out of town. It's going to help Ron, who is actually commutes quite a distance to be here with us. And so it's going to all work out. We'll still sound great. That also means that we're going to be on YouTube every week now.
Because I will
be recording it.
And as a matter of fact, nothing material about the show is actually going to change. You'll just get to see
not at all.
Three screens and goofy-looking faces on
yes,
there.
Yes, you will.
And everything else is going to be just what it is.
And whoever our guest is going to be joining us, so that'll
That's
be
right.
a lot of fun. So up first this week, I've titled, If You Can Manage an Airline Company, You Can Certainly Manage a Car Manufacturing Company.
Ooh.
General Motors has ended its search for a new chief financial officer, landing on Paul Jacobson, who held the same position at Delta Airlines. So while Delta is sinking, guess what? GM hopes to rise again with the new CFO.
Well, now, the CFO, the chief
financial officer.
So he doesn't really run the company. He just makes, you know, he keeps track of the wallet.
Well, didn't the Ford guy run Boeing for a while? So you have a, you know.
They kind of inter.
So there must be some truth to that, then.
Yes, it does.
Switch.
So anyways, they are, he's coming in. Their former one had left earlier in August, and so we wish him nothing but the best. The last one only held his job for 2 years, and so maybe this guy will
There's
be
a story
able to,
behind that somewhere.
Yes, I'm sure there is. And then this year at SEMA, they have gone virtual, dubbing it SEMA 360, which is taking place as we speak. And as part of SEMA virtual show, GM is once again showcasing its newest retro electric vehicle, this time a 1977 Blazer powered with their E-Crate motor and electrical drivetrain salvaged from the Volt platform. Chevy spokesman stated, "Our vision is to offer a comprehensive line of connect and cruise systems from Chevrolet Performance, delivering a solution for every customer ranging from LSX V8s to E-Crate conversions."
So now they're doing the 77 Blazer, you say?
Yes.
So I wonder if they... Remember our guest from a few months ago? The guys who were doing the repop of the Bronco,
yes.
All electric. I wonder if they took a look at that and said, you know... Because the Blazer's right up there in popularity.
Oh, yes, it was.
77 was a good year. It kind of makes sense in a weird sort of... I'm not sure I want one, but I kind of want one way. You know?
I like the 69 to 72 body style myself.
The Blazers?
Top convertibles, yeah.
The original K5s.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Jimmy made a Jimmy also. GMC
they did.
Made a Jimmy.
Yep, you made the Jimmy.
No, did you?
Yep.
Did you have the notch top?
I had the full top convertible.
Oh, nice.
Yeah
those
a lot of fun.
Those were a lot of fun.
Well, and if you think about International Harvester had their their platform,
right.
And Broncos
Scout.
Had their platform.
Corn binder.
And they were all pretty much that shortened, more shorty versions.
Yeah.
And they did a lot of heavy competition. Well, the interesting thing is this replacement motor that they've got, this e-replacement motor, replaces the 77 hefty 400 cubic inch motor that kicked out a sizzling 145 horsepower.
Well, gas crisis.
Or actually 175 horsepower.
That's why.
So
they detuned everything at about 75.
Oh, yeah. I had a 350 in my 76 Monte Carlo, and it put out 145 horsepower.
Yeah.
What?
It's
and embarrassing. Yeah, it is amazing. It got 85, got up to 85 miles an hour, and that was about all.
My 77 GMC three-quarter ton was a 350, four-bolt main, and it was right at 295.
Yes.
That would have been screaming for that year.
That would have been screaming for that year.
It was really good.
Yeah.
Well, so now with the new electric motor, it's going to be 200 horsepower. So these things are not cranking out a lot of horsepower.
Yeah, but
but
electric motor with
torque.
That kind of horsepower, that's very deceiving.
It's a deception, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not. It doesn't work like a
no, it doesn't.
It's right now. There's no hesitation. Yeah. I mean, when you touch it, it's going.
And the amount of torque, you're going to be able to fly with that thing.
Oh, I would think.
Yeah,
sure.
So anyways,
you kind of wonder what the pulling power is.
It'll be
interesting.
I kind
of wonder.
Right.
You know, because, I mean, don't buy those things necessarily to haul stuff, but that's a function.
Well, and again, this is their showpiece. They've rebuilt it. They did this in the past with their Copo Camaro in 2018 and their E10 pickup in 2019. So, again, it is just teasing the public to say we're going to have E-crates available in the drivetrain that goes along with it. So we wish them nothing but good luck on that.
I want to drive one.
I want to make a bastard mobile out of one.
Ooh.
But how would we know you were coming? I mean, it doesn't make any
pizza,
noise.
Pizza. You could put that little recording there.
You could have a stereo play.
That's what. Yes, they
and
do.
Like the Mustang.
I still think that's a great idea.
I do too.
You get the bump and stereo and load in your Hemi sound effect.
Yeah, baby.
I just think that's too cool.
Yeah. So congratulations to Roland Hentz, founder and director of Front Lane Incorporated, who was just named winner of the 8th annual SEMA Launchpad presented by SEMA Young Executives Network. With more than 80 applicants, Launchpad competition concluded with Hentz pitching his invention to a panel of industry experts against 5 finalists at the Peterson Automotive Museum. His winning product is in the technology division, is designed to reduce rear-end crashes. His product is called the Impulse Emergency Brake Light. It's a wireless, battery-powered emergency brake light that reduces rear-end collisions by pulsing 8 ultra-bright LEDs under extreme braking situations to alert followers behind them that, hey, there's an emergency braking here. And so it's like, brr, 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 and it works.
How's that again?
It's 50% quicker than your average.
The sound effects are great. Yeah.
I like the idea. I like it. It's a wireless.
Anything that makes you more visible is a good
exactly.
Safety,
I could see you putting that on the back of your rig because, I mean, it takes you forever to stop that thing, right?
Not so much. You've got good
brakes.
I'm just kidding you.
Good brakes. But I think it's a great idea. So I wish him nothing but luck.
It is a good idea. Anything that makes you more visible is a good idea.
And it doesn't take up a lot of room, and it's going to last four years with the battery life and everything. So
I think it should be mandatory, no exceptions. Every vehicle should have that safety feature.
I think it's great, yeah. Motorcycles need those.
Foreman. Mandatory. You feel, use the lights and you feel like them. Okay.
And then we'll have the sound effects.
No, let's not do the sound effects ever again. Now I can't get that out of my head.
We
broke Steve again.
Yes, you did.
It reminds me of Mike Myers.
All right, we've lost control.
Anyway, so last week we talked about the Alfa Romeo trifecta of their all their original cars that they were going out.
Vintage classics.
Yes. Well, $14 million is what they ended up going for. And those were the cool idea ones. So $14
million. Hey, thanks for tuning in. Coming up on the Windshield View, we're going to take you through a how to build a hot rod A to Z. If you're thinking about building one, stay right here. This is Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. Cartoons Magazine is back. You know those crazy car comics from the past. They've returned in the all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of brand new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine full of one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available at your local comic book store, newsstand, and directly through Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com. That's cartoonsmag.com, where you can subscribe to a whole year's worth of fun. Cartoons Magazine, there's nothing else like it.
This is Mario Andretti, and you are listening to the Horsepower Chrome and Rust. Stay tuned.
I'm more resourceful than I thought.
My suit can still make an impression.
My video games are still game changers.
And my lamp can bring others a bright future.
Because when I donate my stuff to Goodwill,
it helps fund job placement and training for people right in my community.
Now my stuff gets a second chance.
And will give someone in my community
a second chance too.
Goodwill. Donate stuff. Create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. That's goodwill.org. This message brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
In 95, I helped tow your trailer. And in 09, it was sparks from me, your chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
My mind's out of gear, and my heart's in overdrive. I've everything to fear. I ain't never been more alive.
Horsepower, Chrome and Rust is back with the first half of the Windshield View, where we are going to talk about building, experimenting, and conceiving and dreaming about a car that you might want to make into your own hot rod.
Yeah.
Conceiving.
Yeah,
I
you know,
like
the
it.
Whole, the, I have to say, the idea for this, after we had Tommy Ring on a week or so ago,
yes.
Tommy, of course, wrote a column in Rat Rod Magazine, and most of it was about how you build a rat rod at, you know, on a budget. And I'm shamelessly a fan because that's kind of one of the things that got me started. But we talked about it. We thought, you know, we should actually take that, you know, from A to Z. Ron has built 8,600 cars, as far as I know, and he's got like 11 of them still building. And
something like that.
Yeah, and I'm going through what is my first car, but I built a lot of other vehicles. And Steve's got one that he's just getting started on. So
yes,
we thought, you know what?
Indeed,
we are not the only people who are doing this, and there kind of is a there's not a blueprint, but there is kind of a good idea, things to do first and things to do second, and you know, a way to kind of make that project as painless as possible while still leaving you open to learning a whole bunch of stuff. And so that we thought we would talk about that this week from our point of view. And we're hoping that if you're listening, you maybe have questions, you maybe have suggestions, you maybe have your experiences. Get with us on our Facebook page and share this stuff, because this is going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have we're planning to write a book with all the comments that we're going to get.
So the first rule is there are no rules.
Right.
When you're building your car, you're not just building a car, you're building your dream.
Absolutely.
So your heart and soul is going to be an extension of yourself. So make sure that you have this in mind when you go to build your car. Do you want 50 style, 60 style? You want a hot rod? You know, it all depends on your budget and what you want and what your heart desire really wants.
And
really
can
like
I say something about budget?
No.
The only reason I brought it up is it's real easy to say, ooh, I want the ultimate, you know, lead sled, low slung, all things. That's great, but you got to understand those things cost money. Everything costs a
Everything.
Certain amount of money.
Yep.
So
all
if you
what
say,
your heart desire is
yeah,
your
if
dream.
If I've got this in my head and I've got $5,000 to spend, well, then I'm going to have to make sure that whatever my vision is fits the budget. Same thing if you got $50,000. Well, you know, your vision can do other stuff, but take a look at how much money you want to spend on this thing first. Because if you start with the dream, you may run out of money. And that's
well,
frustrating.
You put it on hold like everybody else is building their car until you get a, you
of
save
course.
Up a few more
well,
money.
Of course. But it's just frustrating to
clarify
to
one thing. It we're saying hot rod, but in all reality, it could be any car that
could
you
be
want
a
to restore.
Rat rod,
it could be a 90s or 2005 or something. It's something basic. But
whatever your heart's desire, it could be a 1964 Studebaker station wagon. It could be whatever you heart,
right.
Whatever you want. You know, it's
we're using the term hot rods as just kind of a generic for the project
but
car.
But I like
you're
budgets.
Build.
I got
well. The project car you're going to build, we call it hot rod, but you know, listeners, that we we mean anything you're going to build.
So go ahead, Ron.
So what else you got?
Money is a factor, yes. Of course, and make it safe. There's no exception. It has to be safe
first
and foremost. When we have a new member come into our club, we make sure that we inspect their vehicle, make sure it's good, safe, and sound, and you don't want them running into the back of you.
That would be bad.
And so we all
strains the relationship.
Get together and we go through their car. Let's see. When you start with a good foundation, make sure you have a good. You don't want to start with a piece of junk because that's going to get expensive. Talking about money again.
Sure, sure.
So, and always have a good foundation of friends. And you surround yourself with people who have done this before and have and have the idea. And I've always called it Imagineering. I kind of stole it from Disney.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Mr.
that's
Walt.
A good idea. Yeah. That's a good term.
When your elbow is deep into your project, and I live out in Gold Bar, and you can't just run to the store and get a bolt.
Yeah.
You have to make something sometimes.
Sure.
Or
stop for a week.
Or stop for a week and go to the store. But
when
you're at your elbows and you're motivated and you're willing to get this thing done and you can see your vision, you want to you get excited. So suspension, body, power plant, transmission, do you want a stick? Do you want automatic?
Right.
Rear end, what kind of rear end you want? And make sure your drive line is the right length that you need. You don't want to sacrifice length because
I went through
you
three.
Get excited. Yes, we did that. Brakes are very important.
Yep.
You want to know if you want power brakes or you want to use the standard brakes. I have standard brakes in my car. It only weighs 1,700 pounds. Like you were saying, mine takes a little while to stop. Not really. Actually, it only weighs 1,700 pounds.
Wow.
It doesn't take much to stop that car.
Yeah.
And you got,
or it doesn't take much to get it going either.
Yeah.
You
got drums all the way around, right?
No, I have disc.
You have
disc
in the front.
I have disc in the front.
So that's pretty smart. I mean, even if you're not going to go.
Well, thank you, Brady.
No. I mean, I just mean because you have 70% of your stopping power is at your front. So if
that's where your weight is.
Yeah, the best brakes up front, obviously, and it makes sense to do discs because it's not that expensive anymore. It used to be this big deal, but it's really not.
Like you were saying, there's different styles. There's a bomber style, hot rod, rat rod, custom, low rider. Whatever your heart
complete
desires.
Restoration.
Yep.
Just
sure.
OEM.
Yep. OEM, yes. Like I said, the Studebaker wagon.
Well, mine's going to be a completely just a restoration of back to the way it was when it came off the showroom.
And that's, that's just as much, for our terms, a hot rod as anything else.
Well,
I mean, you're
the amount of work I'm going to have to do, yes.
Well, but it's about, like Ron said, it's about realizing your vision.
Yes, it is.
You have a vision of something, and that's what we're going to do. And if that means bring it back to stock, there's your vision.
Well, like you were saying, Bray, sometimes it veers off and it turns into something else that could have been even better than what your vision started out
it
as.
It can. That's
why they call it Imagineering. Your imagination and your dream can change, but the bottom line is that it's safe and your family can get in there.
Right. And can you have some fun with it?
Anyway, yep.
I remember.
Oh, it's got to be fun or ain't worth doing.
one of my favorite kind of lines that has to do with that is you never write the book you start out to write. It always kind of writes itself after a while.
Having written several that are sitting in my computer, I can tell you, you start out on one thing and the next thing you know, you're exactly right.
If I use an example of that, and I'm going to go back to Tommy Ring's column, I was looking to build one. I always thought it'd be fun to build a car and I'd never built an entire car. I mean, I've fixed cars and added stuff, but it's not the same. And I saw this column. It said, you can build a rat rod for $1,500. Well, it's true. You can, although you have to have a full-bore machine shop and a lot of knowledge to do that. But even Joe, me, who didn't have a whole lot of experience and tools, you could still get away for probably five.
I can see where it costs $1,500 if you know how to weld, you know how to wire.
Yeah,
you know
and
how
you
to
got put, steel and all of that.
You know how to run a brake line. You
right.
know how to run a steering
but,
box or install a steering box.
He said something in his, which you're kind of saying, but it made total sense to me. Find something that you think you can do. And if that's a sedan or a truck or whatever type of body it is.
Well, it really doesn't matter what it is because
once
you get past being overwhelmed by even just starting, like to make a patch panel.
Sure.
To cut it out. to make the radius with your knee. You bend it around with your knee. And
yeah, yeah.
I used a tree in my knee to get the radius that I needed for the certain panels that I need to replace.
That's the line from a song
and
or something.
Just,
I like that.
It's just, you know, once you get it past that overwhelming, like Steve's kind of going through this overwhelming feeling with his project coming up.
You got to start.
Once you get started, you're going to get excited because you see your dreams starting to come through fruition.
Exactly.
It's going to start getting you excited.
Yep.
You're going to be spending more time on your car.
Yeah.
Then you are going to be dreaming about it.
Yep.
And you're making your dream come
true. And sometimes when you start, you learn what you don't know.
You know, having...
I mean, I started out with the idea of I'm going to build a frame. And I bought steel, and I thought this is going to be okay. And I realized fairly short... I mean, I took welding classes just, you know, because I used to gas weld. And it turns out that I didn't have the skill to weld up a frame that I would trust my body to at 70 miles an hour on the freeway.
When we come back, I'll tell you
I went a different direction.
Build the frames for our hot rods.
Yeah, exactly.
At the same time
it's
my cousin
good,
and myself.
It's good to learn, and it's good not to have an ego about,
oh, there's no ego
you know,
involved.
What this is. Cause
leave it at the door.
Perfectly willing to fail over here and have many times and will fail many times after that. But, it is a humbling and enriching experience in just about equal measure, because you learn what you don't know, and that's pretty powerful.
And you become a builder extraordinaire and an imagineering.
I love imagineering.
Hot rodder.
That's the best terminology for this thing.
'Cause it is.
Really, it comes out of your head no matter what. And then you go find, how can I make this vision into what I want?
And you did it with these two things. You did it with your own two hands.
Yes, and your hands too. What?
The Windshield View will be right back with more of How to Build a Hot Rod, Rat Rod, Your Heart's Desire, and Make Your Dream Come True.
You're into cars, you love a good time, and you'd rather build it than buy it. You just might love the Rad Bastards. We're a family-oriented, nonprofit organization. We believe in 1969 and older, in the rough is enough. Real steel and iron, old-school, traditional hot rods and rat rods. We get together, have fun, help each other build, and cruise like crazy, because that's what car clubs are supposed to do. The Rad Bastards are a new class of old-school, and our signature event is the Infestation every July. Join us at cruise-ins all over the Puget Sound and on the Rad Bastards Car Club page on Facebook.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Sensory sensitivity, repetitious behavior, lack of eye contact. You can see signs of autism in children as young as 18 months. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter. A lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
That's just one adoption story that started at a shelter. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Nurse, set up an IV. And you, her boyfriend, you were the driver?
Yes, doctor, but I didn't mean to hurt her. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Just buzzed? Oh, then your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie, I feel great.
She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the app.
Yes, we are. We're back with the second half of the Windshield View on Horsepower Chrome and Rust, and let's get back to the plan for building your hot rod from the ground up. And I just was going to say that, you know, I was out looking at my El Camino, literally Sunday, going, rust here, rust there, chunk, 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 rust here, rust there, chunk, chunk, trying to figure out what I was going to do, and I already knew what the inside of my cab looked like. And I was thinking, okay, I remodel my house. I build things. I build additions. I've done that. If I don't know how to do something, I go look at something else, and I measure it, and I come home, and I build it, and it usually comes out really, really good. I learn. I make mistakes. I go back, replace, fix, make it right. I'm that kind of guy. And I am very fastidious, so I won't have any problem spending the hours and hours to make it right. Back in high school, I got pretty good with a sander, pulling out dents, a little bit of Bondo work, because I used to damage my own car. And
as opposed to damaging somebody else's car?
Yeah, mostly my own. We won't go reason why. We just won't go there. Bottom
this
line
is only a one-hour show.
I did a little bit of patching on my El Camino years ago just to kind of cover up some of the rust spots. So I'm looking forward to it. But I wanted to step into this. I've got a limited amount of space in my garage.
Mm-hmm.
And the two biggest things is my wife decided she doesn't really want me to replace that post. And I know if I do, it's going to take me probably another 3 months to get it done. And I really want to get going on my car. So we said before this show started, well, Steve, you could pull the body off, pull off the front clip, I can store mm-hmm. all that stuff in a shed in the backyard.
Yep.
I can put the frame out in the outside, cover it up, and I can work on the body
make some carts.
Carts.
Yeah.
And I can raise it up so I can get into it.
Get some casters and put them up so I can move it around.
And I can actually maneuver it around in there
mm-hmm.
and go to town. And then you said, well, we have a friend up at E-Company Customs. Have him come down after I've made a list of what I want to do. Have him come by and say, here's, and give me some suggestions, because I know there's going to be aspects of this that's going to be beyond my ability. But I'm going to tackle a lot of it on my own.
If you get, like Brady was saying, if you get yourself a welder, and all welding is feed and speed, practice.
Yep.
Practice. Get yourself a piece of steel.
Yep.
And just start practicing laying out beads, tack welding, try and tack two pieces of metal together before you start working on your car. It's just practice, Steve. And if you're the creative carpenter and cabinet builder like you are, you shouldn't be any problem for you to get this worked out. And you could do it yourself and not have, I know he's a good friend.
Well, and my thought was if I can get 85% of it done on my own
mm-hmm.
and I have that other 15%, which is the real hairy part, I would be more than delighted that I could do that, because
it's just practice.
It really is.
And
I mean,
finding
speaking
the parts.
As a guy who only learned how to weld, really, I mean, back in the day I did gas welding, but it's not really the same, although metal melts and, you know, it's kind of like, but, you know, doing a MIG and TIG and stuff like that, I'm 3 years in maybe, and I haven't done it that much because I do it and then I don't, you know, for a while. Ron's right. It's just practice. And I'm not great, but I'm better than I was. And every time you do it, you get a little better. Mm-hmm. And there is no substitute for literally taking scrap steel and just going out and I'm welding this thing together and I don't care. And I'll beat it apart and try it again.
Get a rusty piece and try and weld the rusty piece together.
You there know? You go. Yeah, that's lots of fun.
That's lots of fun.
Yep. Wear long
sleeves. It's like playing a guitar. It's like, you know, it's practice.
It's practice.
Rehearse. Yep. And then you play. And then you'll put
the other thing too is we talked about, do you want to do the body first? Do you want to do the chassis first? I don't know that it makes a lot of difference, but just thinking from a logical standpoint, if you take the body off and set it aside mm-hmm. and then do all the chassis, you're going to replace the brakes. You're going to make sure that the engine and transmission, whatever powertrain you got, is going to be good. You're going to take a look at all the suspension and everything. Get that thing done, paint it, get it ready to rock and roll. You got a roller at that point.
I think you don't have to move that post. I think if you put the cart, use the cart idea.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
You're going to have a lot of room in there because you're going to have both of them in there. You're just going to have
wheel dollies and you can move the chassis.
And it's not a problem because I already have the thing sitting in my driveway anyway.
And once you get the chassis done, then you can do the body and then you're going to drop. It's almost a unibody.
What do you have to do to the chassis? What's up with the chassis? What do you got to do?
Actually, the only thing I have to do is I'm going to just replace all the ball joints and all that kind of stuff and bring it up to speed.
So there's some
backing away
for just a second from your particular project.
Basic stuff.
Obviously we want to do your project, but people who are building a car from
Let's go back the other way.
It is important to get your running gear straightened around.
Oh, yeah.
You know, whatever.
Well, you said you went through three drive lanes.
Yeah, I did.
Well,
how
did that come about?
Well, because you're supposed to. Here's the way you measure your drive line. And okay, I went back and I measured it. Well, then, after I had measured it, I realized there's two kinds of drive lines for the particular chassis I have. There's a two-piece with a joint in the middle, and there's a single. And it made more sense to have a single, so mm-hmm. the two-piece wasn't going to work, and it wasn't going to take the torque from the motor that I've got. So I just thought, well, the heck with it. I'll use a single. And so that's two. And then when I got it done, they put the wrong U-joint on the thing.
Wasn't his fault.
It wasn't. Yeah, it was just a thing. And so I took it back up. So in each one, each time you do that, it's a week.
Did you have? Because I was watching one of the guys on YouTube, and they had swapped out the automatic and put in a manual 6-speed.
Yeah.
Which automatically shortened.
There's a new drive line.
Redid it, and it said right in there, you must. It's the tolerances area thing.
Oh yeah.
And so that company itself. You gave them the exact measurements, and they built it for you, and then you could do it.
We're fortunate in the Northwest, although I'm sure in most large metropolitan areas, there's a driveline outfit. There's a machine shop that will make a driveline for you, and they'll balance them, which is critical.
We've got one here, don't we?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Very good.
We'll give Ring and Pinion.
They built mine.
Randy's Ring and Pinion?
$100
Oh, that guy's
also Drivelines Northwest.
Drivelines Northwest.
And it's a good deal. They guarantee their work. Yeah, but they only guarantee it if you've taken the measurements correctly.
Right.
So you got to do that. But it's not complicated. Having said all of that, once you get whatever modifications or improvements or rebuilds you're going to do with your chassis, then you can literally set that aside and do all your body work. And then when it comes to, you know, when it comes to putting the thing together, you don't have to worry about, well, now that I got the body on, now I got to jack it up and do the brakes. I mean, it's all done.
See, and I'm going to be rebuilding the motor. That has to be completely redone.
Well, then you're better off doing that with it out of the car.
Yes. And in the transmission, I'm going to have it sent off and have it gone through. And then the motor itself, I'm going to have to send it out for some machining, of course, because I'm going to, and then I'm like, okay, do I use what I've currently got on the inside, or do I add, and I'm thinking, well, if I go with new internals, I can get more horsepower, we can do a balance scenario, balance blueprint, and so I get a better running engine.
If you're like a lot of people who are building a car, you say, this will be okay. I'll use a 350 Chevy motor because everybody else does.
I'm just restoring what I have.
And the point is, it may be a good motor. Is it a great motor? Is it a safe motor? Is it a well-tuned motor? You don't know until you get in there. And there's no point, in my humble opinion, in building a car, and then once you get it on the road, 6 months later, you got to tear it down because you got rings, your head gasket's gone or something like that. Do it first. Then you're done, and you know that it's good from the ground up.
So what size motor is in it now?
Well, it's got the original 396.
I would definitely rebuild that motor.
Yeah.
It's a number matcher. That's why I'm doing that.
But you want to rebuild it.
But now, for instance, my son and I looked at his 89 Crown Vic, and when there was some thought, what would happen if he bought a newer motor? More horsepower, better. And then we looked at it and says, the car itself is just not the platform for that, so he's just blacked it out and he's going to enjoy it. But let's say someone had a Crown Vic that wasn't actually the platform. Then you can say, I want a different motor. And you can buy the crate motors.
There's no rules.
It comes down to how much money you have and what you want.
There are traditionalists who, like I've seen at car shows, and some of the guys that helped me when I started building my car, they are sticklers for flathead. This is what you got to do. It's got to be a Ford and a Ford.
Okay, yeah.
Things like that. But there isn't any rules. That's a particular class of car builders, and that's perfectly fine. Those guys are awesome. Yep. They're called the Damanos. And Roy Rollins is the guy that was, we called him the Rod Father. And he is a wealth of knowledge. And he helped us out when we got started, Tony and Ken and I, when we started building our hot rods in the first place. We did build, the first frame that I built was a 1964 Pontiac rear four-bar suspension in the rear, and we bought steel, and we put them inside of the other frame.
Ah.
And we lengthened it out, put the cross members in, get ready to put like a Ford Mustang II front end on it. And then we pre-loaded the body onto the chassis, and guess what? It was too narrow.
Ah, okay.
Too narrow for the 29 Model A coop that we were going to put on there, and we cut and we cut, and it was just, it did not work. So what ended up happening is we went ahead and finished the chassis, and we built out of a swap meet panels. We built, it was a Briggs body, was a four-door sedan. We chopped it up, cut it up, made a two-door cab out of it, pickup cab, built a box for it, put the cab and the box, pickup box cab on it, just welded the door shut, right, and put it on the cab, took it to swap meet. I think we took it to like four different swap meets. I put it out on the, this is like in the course of 2 months in the middle of summer. I set it on the side of the road there in Big Bend, right across from the Zeke's Drive-In. It wasn't there 20 minutes. A guy drives by and gives me $2,500 for it.
Wow.
So that was...
And yet again, you never build the car never, you start off to build.
You never
and,
know.
Yeah,
some, you never
it's
know what's
somebody's vision.
But
yeah.
That helped Ken and I continue on with the projects that we ended up... We ended up getting a couple of stock Model A frames, boxing them, setting them up. Speedway is the Bible. That's, they have people in text that will help you build whatever you're going to build, because you're buying parts from them. They'll help you out 100%. Even if you get, even if you just have questions, they'll help you out.
I was going to say, is that, that that's kind of a cue. So what I've discovered, there's a lot of restoration shops, a lot of restoration parts manufacturers, and a lot of them have very, very knowledgeable people.
Oh, yeah.
That if you're going to start buying parts and pieces, they're going to sit there and they're going to work with you, are they not?
Well, their business is to sell you parts and pieces.
Yep.
They know what goes with what because, again, that's their business. And if you call them up with a question, they're going to say, well, here's a couple of good ways you can do this, and
right,
this may be the right. And then they're going to help you by selling you the parts and pieces that you need. That's their job. But they get customer loyalty out of that because they save you
they
a bunch
still,
of time.
They still call me
sure.
Rat Ron.
Of course.
I just call
and
them.
Then forums would be another place because or Facebook pages because you could
swap
say
swap meets.
Swap meets.
Yeah.
Because you can say,
Pickers.
I got all these numbers, and some got, I've had people help me out track down everything about my car.
I think you'll actually have more luck. This is kind of a weird thing, but I think you have more luck at a swap meet or a store, you know, like
or
a Speedway
car
or something.
Club.
Well, because, rather than Facebook and the forums, only because the guys on Facebook and the forums, unless you already know them, they have a tendency to spit stuff out because it's their experience, not necessarily something that'll help you.
Right.
They mean
okay.
well most of the time, but you have to sort through all of that stuff, and it's a lot easier. Unless you're looking for a specific thing, what goes here, then they, you know, they're going to help you out. But a lot of times, the guys at the swap meet, they'll stand there and talk with you for 45 minutes.
Oh, they
minutes.
Want, they love it.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
I've been at car
they
shows and like Chevelle El Camino shows. They used to have them up here.
Yep.
I could spend hours just talking to them, and they tell me everything. Because
are you not in the El Camino Club?
I need to go.
What?
Yes. Yeah. You're right. You're right.
That is your number
that's
one
surrounding
destination.
Yourself with the professionals that have done
thank
that.
You. I was actually thinking about that
you
on our
should,
cruise.
You should be
I
doing
need
it.
To be part of that.
Yes.
Yes, I do.
And you should also...
And we'll get them on the show.
You should also join a car club that has to do with, you know, building cars.
Well, I help you, Steve. No problem.
Yeah, because then you're also surrounded with guys who do that kind of stuff, and they can help you from making mistakes. I mean,
mistakes are learning opportunities.
They are. But a short story. I decided when I first got the cab for my rat rod that I was going to chop the top because I always wanted to chop, you know, top. It's a great...
you weren't going
to
go there.
Well, because... I didn't know how to do it, and I just did it.
But you got excited. You saw your dream in fruition. You saw it.
The day we lifted the top off of that truck was like, oh, cool.
Yeah, I know.
And then I realized it took me another year and a half to get it more or less level. And it's like, well, okay, this is a learning experience.
You should have called me, man.
Well, I did eventually, didn't I?
Yeah.
Some of your welds are still on that truck. A lot of your welds.
Going to be a lot more on there.
Yeah. That's all right. But yeah, it's back to what Ron said in the first place. You can't be afraid to start. You got to just dive in.
Don't get overwhelmed.
Yeah.
That's a killer.
Yep.
I think you're right. I mean, we all get overwhelmed in our head.
And it doesn't matter what you're doing.
No.
You could put this to anything, like your cabinet building. You could do it to, you know.
Sure.
Anything. Sewing.
So what last tips here, real quick?
Last tips?
Yeah, we got about 30 seconds.
Okay. Ask for help.
Exhaust system. You're going to use a sock exhaust. You're going to have a custom exhaust system.
Yeah.
You're going to fabricate it all. Fuel tank. That's important. You're going to make sure if you use a stock fuel tank or you can get an aftermarket. I'm sure they make them for your car.
Oh, they do.
I know I have to modify mine because they didn't put the vent in there.
Well, just get a new one. I guarantee
it's supposed to have a vent, and it's supposed to have go out with like a little charcoal canister at the end.
I guarantee you there's
mine
a repop.
Mine doesn't have it.
There's a repop gas tank for your car.
But it's a 396. I'm impressed with that motor, Steve. That's a sought-after car you have there. Is that his SS?
Yeah, all numbers.
Oh, yeah.
Man.
Well, you're listening to the greatest automotive information show in the known world, and a great hot rod story you can share with your friends is up next on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
Today we decided to walk to school. The light counted. 15, 14,
31? I mean, 13?
We took a left on Carroll Street. Danny's smart, but he gets distracted. I realized he forgot his homework. I hope he doesn't have another bad day at school.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side, you can be on their side. That's why there's Understood.org, a free resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Go from misunderstanding to Understood.org.
Hey guys, this is Carl with Garrett's Rod Shop on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. And these guys are great, so listen up.
Cartoons Magazine is back. You know those crazy car comics from the past. They've returned in the all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of brand new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine full of one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available at your local comic book store, newsstand, and directly through Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com. That's cartoonsmag.com, where you can subscribe to a whole year's worth of fun. Cartoons Magazine, there's nothing else like it.
Okay, Forrest Animal. Kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay. Squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org.
I want to thank my mommy for loving me so much.
For taking me to the doctor when I broke my foot.
For leaving me alone when I wanted to be alone.
And now, as a grown-up, I'm thankful for being able to take care of you, my dear mom. For taking you to your therapies. For understanding that sometimes you simply want to be alone.
Roles change without us noticing. That's why AARP gives you the information to provide even better care for your loved one. Visit aarp.org/caregiver.
It's time for Car Confidential. Brady's got another story from Fenders, Fins, and Friends.
Oh, I do. Well, you know, last week we did the story that Lance wanted us to do because he heard the story from the week before.
Yes.
And it was a lot of fun to do the story Lance wanted to do.
I wonder if he's listening now.
He might be.
Lance, are you there?
Well, yes. He didn't show up at the cruise, though.
He did?
No, I didn't see him at the cruise.
I say we pound him.
Yes.
It was Halloween. Maybe he had other plans.
Yes.
He had, you know, to fix,
fix up his
costume.
Got grandkids.
Him and Captain Kale, they were doing something, I'm sure.
Captain Kangaroo.
Anyway, so this week we're going to do the story that I was going to do last week. It's called A Gentleman's Ride. And it is, of course, in Fenders, Fins, and Friends, which is a really cool book. If you have not bought a copy, go to Amazon, buy one now, and Lance will thank you. Yesterday started with me getting upset over very few trivial things. The day ended with a deeper appreciation of what is truly important in life.
We're talking about Lance, right?
I thought we were talking about you for a second. No. Oh, here's how it happened, he says. A collector car owner called and made an appointment to have his car appraised. Momentary pass. Lance used to appraise cars and was well known for doing it. He doesn't do it anymore.
Yep.
He fobs it all off on somebody else.
Yep.
This guy owns a beautiful 56 Oldsmobile 98 convertible and wanted to establish the market value, and on the phone he didn't mention the reason for the appraisal, and I was too frazzled to ask. That's because the day of the appraisal appointment started with me spilling coffee beans on the floor and then stepping on one barefooted. It broke, and I had to walk 10 feet to get a broom and dustpan and then walk the 10 feet back to clean up the tiny mess. I utilized a few choice 4- and 5-letter words as I swept the aromatic remains into the dustpan. I don't have time today to deal with this inconvenience. I announced to the world inconvenience was not the actual word that I spoke. A short time later, I was sitting at my desk attempting to open a program on the computer. It was taking way too long, and I grumbled a few more profanities.
Not Lance.
Was the whole day going to be this frustrating? Well, a few hours later, I left for my appointment to inspect the gentleman's car. I was running a little late, and I realized that I'd misread the map, but I was well past my destination. Lance still uses maps.
I like maps.
This is probably before
600 years ago. In his horse-drawn wagon.
I wouldn't have, never mind.
What a frustrating day. A call to the client got me correctly oriented, and I arrived about 15 minutes late. So pulling into the driveway, I noticed the client waiting as he steadied himself with his walker. We shook hands, and he began sharing information about his award-winning car. It was then that he asked, "Do you want to drive it?" I stated I didn't drive clients' cars
for
fear of
question.
Doing some damage to the vehicle or having it self-destruct with me behind the wheel, but he insisted that I drive the car, so we climbed in and drove down the wooded two-lane road leading away from his house. As we rode, his motivation became apparent. He'd not driven or ridden in that car for more than 2 years, and his health was so poor that he couldn't even wash the car, although it still radiated flash and class through the layers of dust. "Can we just drive for a while?" he asked. "I can no longer drive, and I'd just like to enjoy my car again." It became obvious that this was one of the last rides he might ever take in his beloved car. "Of course we can. Where shall we go?" I replied. We drove along many miles of wooded roads, and he shared with me the history of the car and his love for the old car hobby. "I used to attend car shows, but I haven't been to one in a few years," he told me. "I'm blind in one eye, and I'm losing my sight in the other. The nerve endings in my hands are going, and I have trouble feeling anything that I touch. I also have Parkinson's." At that moment, I thought about my frustrating morning dealing with one crushed coffee bean and a slow computer, and I kind of felt foolish. This gentleman was going to be my co-pilot and navigator for as long as he wanted that drive to last. The car ran perfectly despite not being driven for a long time. "The gas in the tank is 2 years old, so it may not run properly," he said. "However, it ran like it had been tuned up the day before." We drove through the wooded areas, past open fields, and into the small rural communities as he shared adventures that he'd enjoyed in this car. He asked if I'd stop at a gas station and put a few gallons of fresh gas in the tank. As the tank was filling, the station attendant walked up and began admiring the beautiful Oldsmobile, and I mentioned to the owner sitting in the car. He began telling the attendant about the stunning red and white convertible. During the brief conversations, he sounded really happy and very healthy. The time too quickly passed, and we returned to his home. The car sat majestically in the driveway as I continued with the inspection, and he shared more of the car's history. When he wasn't talking, he just sat staring at the car and smiling. I'll never forget the smile on his face. After about an hour, I completed my inspection. I thanked him, and I departed. The sun was peeking through the clouds, so I put the top down on my Mustang convertible to better enjoy the drive home. While driving, I thought about how my day had started and how the experience with the gentleman and his car had changed it. He was dealing with the loss of his health and his car while I was enjoying the sun and the sky and the wind in my hair. Nothing else upset me for the rest of that day.
Great story.
That's a cool story.
Great story.
It kind of reminds me of my father. He bought himself a Saab and used with my mom and him, and they found the perfect car, a little six-cylinder or four-cylinder, whatever it is, 140-plus miles an hour that thing would go. He had never did that, but the speedometer says 160.
Mm-hmm. Saab 99?
It's a four-door. And
the little ones?
Yeah, like a Saab 900 or whatever whatever they are. But anyway.
Well.
It was a beautiful little car, and my dad and my mom took road trips in that and drove all over the place, and it was perfect. And then my mom passed 3 years ago. Mm. My dad moved himself into an assisted living, and that transition took a little while for him to adjust. And but he kept his car, and he'd go out, and he'd still drive around town. Never got an accident in his whole life, unlike his son. And it came time where, after the COVID lockdown, many, many months, my dad just, at the point, is like, you know, I'm not going to be able to drive my car. Yep. I don't see any that in sight. So I said, you know, you need to get that to your daughter. And so he called up my sister and says, I've got the car, blah, blah, blah. And he had gone down to the bank with my cousin and was able to get out from our. So anyways, my sister came over and my dad went outside. And, of course, he got a growling and a chewing out by the nurse, and he's like, you know what, this is my daughter, this is my car, I'm never going to see this thing again. And he didn't say it, but my cousin did. Leave him the blah 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 alone. And so my father gave my sister that car, and that was the last. He's 94, and
I have to ask, did they go for a ride?
No, because he was not allowed to go. He's
that's,
you know,
too bad.
But the point
Dad
is this
gone.
Is that had a lot of meaning. It was like the last vestiges of being independent.
It's a big deal.
It is.
And when an individual like this who has Parkinson's, who's breaking down, our family or friends, and we all know people in the car world who got to the point where they could no longer drive, whose passion was still nestled in that vehicle. And I think there's something about cars above anything else, above boats, above whatever, that take us back to memories, especially here in the United States, because we're so car-centric.
Well, my car, I can look at my car, it's like a time machine. I get into that car, I turn that key over, it's like a fountain of youth, man. I turn that key over, those pipes blowing it up with no mufflers on, and it's so loud, it's great. I'm back, I'm 16 years old again, and I'm ready to go, and it's just like a
And
a
the
fountain
idea of
youth.
Not able to drive, for those who have driven their whole life, it is a huge milestone.
Oh, sure. Well, it's the first literal feeling of independence that a lot of people
that's
have.
That's exactly right.
I'm alone. Yep. I am now responsible.
Yes.
And I'm mobile.
Yes.
And that's a big deal. And it's a part of the culture that's kind of uniquely American. I mean, let's face it. We started the car culture.
Yes, we did.
It's not that we were the first people with cars, because we weren't. But the car culture really, you know, is owned by America. And the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s,
I think
forever.
It migrated to Canada since it's right there next over the border. But we did.
North America. Yeah. But the California car culture. It's what got all of this kind of started, and it really is a rite of passage for 16-year-old kids everywhere. And the idea of losing that after, you know, decades perhaps of being independent like that, that's a big change for a lot of people.
I remember when I was building my 55 Chevy, the first real build that I've done, and I lay in bed and I dream about what I was going to do with that car, and what I was going to take out of it, and what I was going to put back in, and take off and add to, and it's just I can't, there's no words.
Sure. Well, you know, that's why we do this show.
That's
why Lance wrote those books. By the way, thanks to Lance for his books there.
Yes,
you can get them
on
Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Even the Vintage Vehicle Show site has them. And we know your bookshelf would not be complete without them.
Hey, the Nathan Lipinski Weekly Question, trivia question is next. So put it in park, stick around, and we'll get to that question.
I love card night. You ready, boys? You got a king?
Go, Fish Dad!
Oh, come on! This is WWE superstar Titus O'Neil.
It only takes a moment to make a moment.
Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Hang on till right after these messages.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes. And you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to, are you? Kids, work, listening to the radio. You're busy, which is great because busy people can't get prediabetes. Oh my, I read that wrong. They can. Should have worn my glasses. So visit doihaveprediabetes.org and take a short test, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Looking for a job worth talking about? Teaching is creative, collaborative, and intellectually challenging. See why teachers have better work stories at teachdfw.org and learn more about becoming a teacher. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
Did you hear the news? Cartoons Magazine is back. Yep, those car-crazy comics from the past have returned in an all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine filled with one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available directly through the Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com.
I'm jumping in with my clothes on!
Most party fouls are pretty dumb, but if you decide to drink and drive underage, you could lose your license and your freedom. Learn more at ultimatepartyfoul.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Help us if you can. You're an El Camino. El Camino man. Only you can understand.
396.
Help us if you
big block.
Hey, welcome back. It's Around the Wheel. This is where we talk about events. There haven't been very many this year, and we're sad about that. However, we did have a really cool event.
Yes.
Last week, it was the very first annual and inaugural Creepy Cruise that Horsepower Chrome and Russ put together. We want to thank everybody. We had 20, 25 people all told, although they didn't all make every stop. But we cruised up to Drager's International Car Sales.
Yep.
In Burlington, Washington. Had a great
beautiful
time.
Weather.
And people some decorated their cars, and some people decorated themselves, and some people got decorated once we got there. thanks to Jerry Drager for putting together just a terrific event. He had a lot of tables up there and a sound system and sodas and stuff for everybody. And, of course, his place is just a museum. We will be covering the grand opening when he gets there. It was like a pre-opening thing.
Great host.
But also congratulations to Gary Estes and his 41 Ford fire truck that he built.
Yes.
He won the creepiest cruiser. And also to Jeff Russell with his custom 57 Chevy? 55 Ford pickup that he made.
F-100.
A custom hood that cantilevers like the old Buick hoods. It's really a classic. He also won Creepiest Cruiser. So congratulations.
He had a gull wing out of it.
It is. It's a gull wing hood.
I will be posting the picture shortly.
Yep.
I found them.
Yeah,
I've downloaded them on my computer.
Right.
Now
we
I've got
a bunch of
them.
We put a bunch of them
it'll
up there
up
already.
Tomorrow.
But we'd like to do that. Anyway, the trivia question from last week, we got it in just before the end of the show. The question was, what was the miracle of the Dodge Brothers? And maybe because it was just at last minute, nobody heard it. We didn't get an answer. But the miracle of the Dodge Brothers was this. First off, if you know the Dodge Brothers' actual first names, you get extra points. John and Horace Dodge were the original Dodge Brothers. And their first car came off the assembly line in 1914. They went on to produce Dodge Brothers trucks. And, of course, Dodge, the car company, came out of that. However, that success was something that they would never actually see, because both of them died within a year of each other during the influenza epidemic of 1920.
Wow.
And look at where their cars and trucks have come since then.
Wow,
it's an amazing story.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the question from last week. This week's question, this is kind of it's a financial thing. Every person who buys a car, a new car now, spends X amount of money on the thing, but there's a percentage. What's the average percent of your yearly income that people spend on a new car? What's the average percent? Now, I'll give you a couple of hints. I'm going to tell you. In 1974, the average American family spent 33% of their yearly income on a new car.
Wow.
By 95, the average percentage was 50%.
Oh, wow.
On a new car. Now, it didn't drop it all at once, of course. I mean, most people make payments. But that was in 95. So what's the percentage these days? If you know, or if you want to Google it, you probably can. Get with us at horsepowerchromeandrust.com. You can go to the Facebook page. You can send us a email at contactus@horsepowerchromeandrust.com. And if you win, we will put your name and handsome visage, if you send me a picture, on the 8x10 color glossy winner certificate on the Facebook page, along with the bucket of Horsepower Chrome and Rust Barn Fine Dust. And you, too, can be listed in the annals of winners.
Well, I got a quick question.
The Nathan Lipinski Weekly Trip Automotive Trivia question. What is your question, sir?
When did the Chrysler namesake, was that another company?
Oh, that was
that
later. That was much later. Chrysler was a French fellow who came and began to make Chryslers. Dodge merged with them later on, and of course there was also Plymouth, which was its own company for a long time. And for a while they had another mark in there, but that all came much later.
Okay,
1914, the Dodge Brothers got started.
Wow.
Do you know that we share this show with well over a million car enthusiasts every week, and we're really grateful that you're out there. We're still in the top 10 of all the automotive podcasts on podomatic.com. We thank you for that. If you want to email the show, give us a suggestion for a topic or a guest to have, you can get us at contactus@horsepowerchromeandrust.com. You can message us on Facebook. We had a great time sharing how you can build your own hot rod from the ground up this week. Thanks to Ron and Steve for their input.
No rules.
Dive in. Feedback and questions, you can send them to the Facebook page. For Ron Foreman and Steve Johann, I'm Brady Wright saying keep your eyes on the road, your hands on the wheel, your foot to the floor. Cruise on by next week for another Horsepower Chrome and Rust.